We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, February 5th, 2025 at 8:51. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance for observation. It's Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 22nd, 2025. Approve all claims through February 5th, 2025 in the amount of $546,516.68. Accept claim number 2502-0090 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., and the amount of $723.72 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve and place on file sheriff's statement on collection of distress warrants for December 24. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of January 25. Approve 2025 Gage County Highway Department policy with the townships. Approve utility permit number 1322 to Pinpoint Communications, Inc. Pinpoint will be installing a new fiber line on Lilac Road, South First Road, and Locust Road, east of Highway 77. Pinpoint will plow in the outer edge of the right-of-way to a depth of 4 feet and bore under all roads, driveways, and structures to a depth of 10 feet along the planned route. Located northeast, south, and south of Section 15, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. Approve utility permit number 1323, Northern Natural Gas Company. Northern will be occupying the Gage County right-of-way for grading and installing a new driveway with culvert in the south grader ditch along Hoyt Road, approximately 2,020 feet east of the intersection of South 23rd and Hoyt Road, located on the north. Located north of Section 31, Township 4 North, Range 7 East, Logan Township. Approve specs and call for bids for Project C-34-1181 Rockford Overlay. Bids to be opened on March 5th, 2025 at 9:15 a.m. I would highlight on item 7, the policy with the townships. We discussed that on Monday, allowing the townships to exchange their gravel allotments for rock in their choosing of size for their entire allotment. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items that would like to be pulled off by the board.
I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Claybaugh, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Seeing none. Hold on. We have a finger up by the highway superintendent.
With the township policy for the switching of rock or gravel to rock, were we going to change the appointed miles, or they could change that allotment for spring and fall for rock?
I don't understand that question. Do you mean?
So like in the previous years, they've been able to exchange only 1 mile or 2 miles. Are they able to exchange their whole allotment?
Their whole allotment's the way I understood it Monday.
Yes.
Okay. And that's
spring and fall. Now, that's what we did last time, but no one actually did that.
No.
I would still say that we keep an eye on that.
But didn't we put 5/8 on that?
I think that was a couple of years ago we allowed 5/8. Last year we allowed any size or size of their choosing, if I remember correctly.
And it all depends on the weather, you know?
And they're going to know better than we do, too, on what's needed.
So. Yeah, and they're going to take the heat when it's too big, too small, whatever, you know.
Want it just right.
I just want a clarification on that.
I would say spring, fall, full allotment can be swapped, if so chosen. Of course, all spot rock and everything is still at your discretion.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the consent agenda? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2502-0090 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $723.72. This would bring the total amount of claims paid to 547,000 $240.40.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors meeting. I'd like to welcome our guest dignitary, Mr. Swavely. Nice to see your face this morning.
It's fair to come back and harass you.
Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Turn it over to Dave.
Morning.
Morning.
We just discussed a few things on Monday. Sean Van Lanningham was able to come and take the lights off the two big spruce trees. That's always nice. That was on January 28th. So sometimes they have to stay up until almost April if the weather's bad. So that's good to get those off. Detention center, they had a circulating pump go out that was on, the motor on the circulating pump. So they ran through the weekend on just one pump, but the building did stay warm. So, and then they did replace the pump on Monday, the motor on Monday. So that's taken care of. I'm having a company come down, and they're going to give us a proposal on staining the woodwork that's in here. So he thought he would be here. He said midweek. So I'm going to give him a piece of our baseboard so he can start doing some color samples for us. And last thing was we were asked if we could add a name to our Civil War monument, and I did do some checking on it. It is doable. I did, after I looked at it closer, I'm afraid if he is a Civil War veteran, and I think the only space available is on the north side, and that would be the Spanish-American War veteran. So I'll still look into that and see, but as far as Spidell Monument, they said it's doable. I asked our masonry guy, and he said that he felt that stone was hard and it could still be engraved into also. But, and then we did also bring up and we could just do something to improve those names. They're so hard to read on there to get those names transferred onto something. And I think it would be nice to put something on the ground floor where we just have an area where we dedicate that to the veterans and get the names. We actually have a lot of information on the names that are on there because they are hard to read, but I can't even remember where this came from, but all the names are on here. There's a few that were wrong, but they're all on there. We have information on the cannon. It's an 1857 cannon. It was a Confederate cannon from Richmond, Virginia. And so there is a lot of information that we could share, and I just think it would be nice maybe just to get that put up. I've always felt like our hallways are perfect for when people come in that they can just kind of look at displays and things like that. So that's about all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Equalization, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items.
Hold on. Equalization, real quick. We talked about going with the referee system. Just briefly this morning, to keep some consistency with the referee process. Our new equalization chair went into in-depth discussion with Patty on how that should lay out, and we'll continue moving forward. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Oh, thank you now.
He's still working. Eddie, got to work on that secretary work over there.
GBE, CPA, audit work, $12,500. MIPS Incorporated, forms and printing, $14,172.11. ACE, irrigation and manufacturing, culverts, road department, $102,436.80. That's it.
All right, human resources, employee relations. Monday, we had a little bit of discussion over personnel. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything this morning?
Good morning, everybody. At committee meeting, I had reported that we were having issues with the Wymore the siren there at McCandless Park, and that is an issue. If you ever want a good way to get vertigo, just watch a tower go back this way, back and forth for a couple hours. But I had put on my budget to replace that, and we will be moving forward. That's about a $32,000 project. But Wymore Street Department is assisting us with that. They'll be able to take that particular siren down for us and do that. They're down there watching it, and they've anchored it and so forth. So one thing about it is it's going to be a May project. That's how long this, you know, getting the equipment in and so forth. But fortunately, we're not going to be into too much, you know, weather situations. But that is actually a siren that's been in place since 68. So there's a long time. It's still one of those old styles that have 20-some horns around it. So, it was on the list. And then as we talk about storms, just kind of wanted to put or reach out there to the media that we do have storm spotters training scheduled for February 20th out at the homestead. And so typically in the past we've had over 100 people attend that. So that is scheduled for 7 o'clock. So but that's really all I have for now. So thanks.
Do you want to ask about that?
Do you want to ask her?
Okay, just so that she thinks about it.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes.
The funding for that, have you looked at NERMA grants or?
Not, I mean, as far as the siren themselves,
yeah.
I have not applied for a NERMA grant for that particular one, no. But so I don't know if we can after the fact or it has to be before the fact. We'll have others that we probably need to do as well. I have checked with NEMA to see if there's funding out there, and right now there just is not.
On
so,
NEMA's side?
Yeah, on the NEMA side of this particular cane. But, yeah.
We'd think we'd have options at NERMA.
Sure, and as we move forward in updating our siren systems, that would be a big plus, too.
One thing would be timing for that, like if it's
right.
Immediate use versus timing to get a grant, then do it.
There's some pretty good overlap on some of those grants, some of them not so much. But you'd received some grant funding for the sirens before, hadn't you, years ago?
So, yes, then funding for mitigating was available through NEMA, and it just right now, after the 2019 storms, we're finding that a lot of that mitigation funding, it takes 2 years to get it. So if you're looking at a project. I'm still applied for a project for the school system for a safe room, you know, so we still have that on hold. So so there's always stipulations there. But I'll reach out to Dawn for a little bit more information on the NERMA grant, if that's okay, a little bit later. But as we update, I definitely will put in for one. Do you know what the deadline is? Okay.
I do not.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll reach out. Yes.
You said this was the oldest siren that you had.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next oldest? Is it close to 35 years old?
So most all of our sirens are starting to age with about 38 years. They are a rotating siren, so we don't sound sirens in the winter months just because, you know, ice and cold normally. But come March, we'll start doing it again. But we'll have a sizable amount of them that will be on that 40-year range coming up. So
we're not able to apply for a grant for this one, maybe the next oldest, mm-hmm. so we can kind of plan ahead to keep them in good shape.
Yeah, what's consistent, I mean, the last one that we put in was a new one for the city of Beatrice, and that particular one went out at the hospital last year. But by the time we order and get them in place, usually the company that puts them up is about 10 weeks out by the time you get it, and then their maintenance crew. Beatrice was really on board with that project. They helped put money towards that, and plus then the electrical department helped us with that project, and that was in an airplane in the airspace of Beatrice Airport, so we went through that process as well. So, but Wymore, I think, is they have it on their city agenda tonight, you know, to also do something similar like what Beatrice did. So, you know, we'll have a little funding, but the labor is worth a lot, too. So, but.
You mentioned a safe room for the schools.
Yes.
From 2019.
So
we're still on hold or a possibility of getting funding for that?
So back in when the new grade school was, first proposed, we worked on grant funding for that, and we were waiting for funding to be released from all the floods and so forth. So it's still a project that's there but has not been accepted yet. So, but it's after the fact now. Yeah. After it's been built. So it's not a quick process by any means. I wish it was. But.
That's interesting because I was just out to Central City last week, and they had built
their gym.
Yeah, their new gym and everything. Yep. That thing is amazing.
Yep.
And that was built as a safe room.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, I got a full tour of the whole place, and it's pretty neat.
The school used that as an example when we wrote that particular project, and thought that they were in key, and then, other things happened. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Gus, you got anything today?
All this stuff is.
Really? Don't want a new car, or?
What?
You don't want a new car, or? Nothing? Oh, okay. I don't believe we have anything for law enforcement.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Jergens.
Okay. We approved specs and called for bids on South 99th Road, Rockford Road, for the first 2 miles south of Highway 136. Bids will be opened 3/5/25 at 9:15. We'll be opening fuel bids for the county today. We already spoke about the townships, and I've seen a few of them setting, but Mark said there are 8 sites where culverts are on site, ready to be put in. So get to work. That's it.
All right, we have a time to begin at 9:15. I'm assuming our audit report is going to take more than 9 minutes, or maybe not?
Why would it?
Ooh, I could probably do it in 9 minutes, depending on questions.
Okay. We'll get started. Yeah, we'll get started at least.
Okay.
Martin, you pronounce your last name Schilt?
Schilt, yep.
Martin Schilt, GBE, to present the 23-24 audit report.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I do like come back and working in communities I grew up in. So I'd like to start this morning by saying these things typically aren't complimentary in nature, audit reports. However, I do have a few compliments to give out, and I'll do so this morning. The first few pages of your report here, labeled the Independent Auditor's Report, I don't believe you guys have a copy, so I'll kind of show you guys as we go. But this right here is what you guys pay us for. It issues our opinion. It states our opinion on everything that follows behind it. And this year, you guys do have an unmodified opinion, which is the cleanest opinion we can give you. That doesn't mean it was a perfect audit, which I'll go through here in a moment. However, this is the highest opinion the county can get. So as we go through here, I'd like to remind everybody, these are June 30th, 2024 financials. So this, you do have to go back to June, for these to be usable. Moving forward, it'd be great to get these presented to you somewhere in October. At the best, then November if, things take a little bit longer. I believe it's just better for you guys, to use this report to its true effectiveness and, really know where the county's at if these come more timely. However, being the first year through, just getting everything together and learning how each other function, these things typically take a little bit more time. So I would like to state that. I'll skip through the actual details here in the report. It was a pretty typical year, pretty much in the norms of other years outside of maybe the ARPA grants and spending the ARPA money, which leads me to your guys' federal audit. Your guys' federal audit will be towards the back of these financials when they're published. I will work with Don in submitting that to the feds timely. Any questions so far before we get into audit points? Great. Okay, so there'll be another letter that you guys will have access to. Again, I'm not 100% sure if you guys have them in front of you, but this year there's 3 points. I'd like to go through each one of these. This will be on the back of your guys' report. on the back of your financial statements. I believe all three are rollovers from the prior year with a few points this year that you guys cleared as a county. The first one here just basically states that the financial reporting process typically would be you guys would prepare financials, give it to us, we would then audit. However, we impair that process because we build the financials and you guys accept responsibility for them. That's the first point. I don't want to say it's not important. However, it is extremely common. That same kind of sentiment applies to the second point here, segregation of duties. Basically, it states that many offices in the county, just due to, you know, staffing levels, one individual would have the ability to handle a transaction from beginning to end and be able to conceal and commit fraud. It's basically what the second point is stating here. That all that is mitigated by you guys creating a PIE ethics and approving expenses. Those are things that would mitigate those risks for you to make things a little more comfortable for yourselves. This last point is not common. However, you know, we're seeing it more and more, and it's something, you know, I'd like to work on this coming year. It is a prior year point, and it relates to the sheriff's office. So we noted throughout our audit in the sheriff's office, you know, they would take fees in, and, you know, they might perform services and have to determine how much was rendered and then submit the rest to the treasurer's office. And we found that these accounts, you know, some instances weren't being reconciled for a few months. And I think we can work on a little bit easier way to make sure that process is happening timely. You know, it's super important that all of the county's measure or county's funds are reported to the treasurer in a timely manner. I would just, for the sake of just being fair, we only maybe had one county that didn't have a point this year. It just seems like the ways that fees and mileages, keeping track of how much is owed, it just seemed universally it's kind of difficult, and we have kind of a little bit better process for them to reconcile those and hopefully make that a little more efficient. I'll work with them a little bit in advising them on maybe a couple of ideas to implement down there to clean that up. I would love to see that point gone this year. I know it's been on your guys' financial statements for quite a few years. That being said, I you know, just being timely here for you guys, I have a few compliments to dish out. Don's office over there in the clerk's office handles the most difficult part of the audit. They were very, very, very timely in working with me, and I have a special thanks to give out to Kim over there. She, frankly, pulled together all of these, I mean, probably hundreds of expense testing items for your guys' federal audit and your county audit that it was the cleanest one we got this year. I mean, yeah, I see you guys e-file all of your invoices, and it made it was incredible how fast Don's office pulled everything together. It was very clean for our staff, and it made the audit much more efficient than, you know, some of the other ones. Across the board, everybody was transparent and great to work with, you know, and I really appreciated spending time with you guys to, you know, make sure we get the county audit done on time. So any other questions for me?
Questions for Mr. Schill? We work with a lot of different counties across the state as well, and
yep.
we brag our county officials. We really are lucky in Gage County. They run really efficiently, and our jobs are a lot easier because of our other officials. So I'd like to echo that thanks to Don, too. Your office is always, whether we want it to be or not, every T is crossed and every I is dotted, so we do appreciate it.
Yeah, there was a little bit of time, just timeliness thing, just getting to know each other and, you know, how each county just has a little bit of differences. That took a little bit longer. That's why we're here in January. We can't issue before the budget comes out. Typically, that's mid-September. So I would really shoot for late October sometimes. You guys have financial statements to, you know, make board decisions with if you'd like and know the standing of the county. I personally think that's pretty important to, you know, not get these in March.
And we have a multi-year agreement with you, so this will...
I believe we have 3 years. I do know that the state is getting rid of counties, and frankly, there's just not a lot of us that do this. I believe we have 3 years, and we'd love to continue working with counties, work with just startup. Getting audits started is not extremely fun, so.
Martin was really good to work with. It was a learning curve for both of us between how the state requests and...
Yep, the state did things much different, and their teams are a lot different, and they operate on different budgets. So. It was excellent to work with you guys, so.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Do all right on time, I think.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll go back to a timed event at 9:15. I'd ask for a motion to, first of all, I'd ask if there are any bids in the audience for the county fuel bid. Please turn them in now. If there aren't, I'd ask for a motion to close bids at 9:15 for the county fuel bids.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Adams, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor.
Two of them.
Are you ready to open them?
Slack. Thank you.
You want to take the raise grant while we're starting to open this?
Yeah. The raise grant was due on January 30th.
There's two of them.
And we did get that submitted. We were the first one to use the infrastructure hub that the NDOT set up, which utilizes a grant writer. We sent that off, and they went through it, helped us get some merit criteria fixed, the benefit cost analysis fixed, and that was submitted for fully funded $25 million for the Claytonia, DeWitt, and Hickory Road grant.
You were the first to work with?
We were the first to work with the infrastructure hub, first one to submit.
That's an accomplishment in itself, because we're utilizing the tools the state's trying to give us.
Yep.
So that guarantees?
Doesn't guarantee anything. Oh.
But they're through the first round.
It was really helpful for.
First come, first serve.
Yeah. Well, I had already sent our stuff off to NDOT like the week before they signed with the grant writer, so made sure that we were in line there.
Thank you, Martin. Mr. Juergens.
We have two bids. The first one is from Sapp Brothers. We had asked for bids on 63,000 gallons of diesel fuel, number 2 premium dyed diesel fuel with fuel additive package. No state or federal tax is included. Price per gallon, 2.597 cents. The next one for gasoline, we've asked for 33,000 gallon unleaded 87 E10 gasoline, state tax but no federal tax, 2.609 per gallon. Total price on the diesel, $163,611. Total price on the gasoline, $86,097. This bid is from Farmers Cooperative in Beatrice. Same bid form. The diesel fuel number 2 premium dyed diesel fuel with fuel additive package, no state or federal tax. Price per gallon, $270. The quantity, 63,000, for a total price of $170,100. Unleaded 87 E10 gasoline, state tax, but no federal tax. $267 per gallon. 33,000 gallon, $88,110.
Mr. Juergens, would you like to accept an award?
Mr. Lytle? Well, we always do. I mean, I think the low bid was SAPs. make a motion to accept SAPS petroleum bid.
Accept both bids and award to you.
accept both bids and award to SAP Brothers?
Yes.
Second.
Motion by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Haxby.
You already did.
Too slow.
Yeah.
To accept both bids and award to SAP, the apparent low bidder. Any discussion on this?
Mark, have you looked at your fleet and the ability to go to E15 as an option, or
with the two newer trucks, it's probably not an option. And then plus with the sheriff's vehicles, it's probably not a wise.
Oh, the sheriff's vehicles are E15 easily. That's not a problem.
With the gas mileage that's with the E15, what I've noticed with the E15, you just don't get a good gas mileage out of it. My personal vehicles, I jump up. I'm at 90. I'm in the 90 octane for mine. My personal vehicle, and I can run to Lincoln 4 days with my truck.
There should be a factor on there going to E15, and then an appropriate.
I've never ran the factor, and then it's something I can look into.
I think moving forward, as we ask for bids, I think you should ask for that as an option, and we can always decide if we want to accept that or the E10 offering.
In the past years with the fuel, trying to guess on what we're going to use has always been a questionable thing, depending on winter projects. So I pulled the last 5 years of what we have used, and there for a while, right when I started, it was a pretty good spike, but we also had a lot of vehicles driving around doing much of nothing. Since then, in the last couple of years, it's dwindled down. So I took the average of what we've used in the last 5 years and added 10%, and that's what I came up with these gallons of what we're anticipating.
I'm not questioning the gallons. I'm just saying ask for our bidders to give us an E10 price and an E15.
We can change those.
And we choose which one if we want to go that route.
Mr. Idle, you being the one with the most fuel experience here, I assume there's a factor, though, for mileage. We have a lot of vehicles in a certain fleet that sit and idle all day long. Mm-hmm. Does that affect that differently, just sitting there and idling? Do you see the same drop with ethanol if you're just not sitting there, not moving?
Your fuel mileage sucks when you're just sitting there idling, no matter what fuel you're running. No, I don't know that would be a benefit or a detriment, the E15 anyway. I don't know. That's a good question.
I just thought of that because, I mean, if you're under a heavy load, you're burning more energy, you need more BTUs of power. But if you're just sitting there and the only thing it's powering is the radio and the air conditioner.
It burns a little hotter, but I don't know that that would affect you sitting there in an idle. I'm not an engine guy. I'm a fuel guy. Not that anymore either. So, but I think our engines are being set up more for E15 usage, and I think it's something that just moving forward we need to prepare for it and just be ready for the option. Yes,
we can throw it in as an option. That's not an issue. I'd still like to do a little bit of research to see what the benefit would be, mm-hmm. if there is any. And there might be. I mean,
never know
until you run the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. There's usually a little bit of a money difference, but
no, it's an option we can look at.
Yep.
We have a motion by Juergens, second by Haxby, to accept all bids and both bids and award to SAP. Any additional discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We received the GBE audit by Martin Schilt for 23-24. I'd ask for a motion to approve the 23-24 audit report and place it on file.
Have you seen it, Rex? I haven't seen it.
It has not been published, and we actually do not have it yet. I did not say that. I guess a motion to approve receiving the 23-24 audit report and placing it on file.
We do that every year. We have to receive it.
So move.
We publish it that it's on file.
Second. Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. We will be receiving a copy of this. I'm sorry.
He was the second.
Terry was.
No, you were. Thank you.
I have a motion by Dorn, second by Juergens. I'll try to turn up the hearing aid on the left side. Any discussion on approving to receive the 23-24 audit report?
Was it Juergens or was it Adams?
Placing it on file. I have it as Juergens still.
Okay. I have it as Adams, so I better change it.
No discussion. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Talking about the fuel bids.
Approve or disapprove the 2025 board and committee appointments. I would ask you to look at the 25 committee appointments, which you do have copies of.
He has a copy of the audit, too.
I'm looking through it now.
Okay. It's not published yet, but we will have a published copy of the audit as well.
You might just suggest when you
okay.
There'd be more questions if he gave it to us beforehand.
Some of the lowest things that people have.
The committee appointments, most everyone stayed the same. We had 2 board members change, so we moved those names around some. I did have discussions with some of the board appointments for outside agencies prior to putting names in place, but as a whole, everything stayed fairly similar. Jail inspections were updated as well. We do a quarterly jail inspection with the sheriff. So I don't know. We haven't done one in January, but this quarter we'll try to get the first quarter jail inspection done. That would be Mr. Dorn and Claybaugh.
I've never done it with the sheriff.
You've never done it with the sheriff? He's pretty busy. I'm sure he has his.
I'll make special exception for you, Eddie.
Mr. Adams and myself will be second quarter.
Did I miss?
It's not on there. Oh, I thought you said it was on there. We just have to.
Yes. Where's the
on? This was on my desk. It's possible. I'll add it in here. Send agreement. I'll put this in here.
Yeah. It's easy to write your name. Left hand.
He used it enough.
I will point out committee meetings. It's different than in the past. Committees as a whole. So instead of meeting at different times where only certain members can be present because of too many people for the Open Meetings Act and having a quorum, we all meet, we all go over the committees, we all have discussion on that. I like that system better. If there is a special committee, you'll be appointed. You'll meet on the outside, 3 or less of you to go over whatever the special committee is called for.
Move to approve.
Second. I spoke up.
Motion by Haxby, second by Adams, to approve the 2025 committee board committees and appointments. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. I'm going to insert we had a little bit of movement on one item. A couple items got taken off, and one didn't get added back in time for publication. This was one we talked about on Monday. I'd ask for a motion to approve the agreement between Gage County and SEND, which is Southeast Nebraska Development District, for the project known as Gage County Road Project. What this would be is the administration of grant dollars for a project. Instead of Ms. Haxby doing that, Southeast Nebraska Development District would take care of that. The fee is approximately $10,000.
$10,000 to $15,000.
They would take care of all the grant paperwork, administration, those items.
The agreement says 15.
Yeah. I think it's up to. The way their accounting does is they expel funds to each project based on number of hours actually spent on that.
So moved.
Second.
I was just going to say that it was, there's already, I put it into a Word document of everything that they want. It's like 4 pages long, and it would be really great if we could pass that so I can focus on working on more grants instead of trying to do both.
And it's a good idea. We're a member of SEN. That's what they do. City of Beatrice is utilizing them as well as Wymore. They've got street projects and other issues.
It's black and white, 15.
It'll say 15. It'll be an up to just the way they expel funds out. And they should give us an accounting of that as they bill us as well. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Juergens. Any additional discussion on outsourcing our grant administration on this project to SEND?
This is the Odell and Christ Lutheran Road.
Mr. Juergens has been very on top of this project. Odell Blacktop.
Oh, yeah.
Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove the 2025 Board of Supervisors Standing Rules. You also have a copy of this. You guys have been reviewing these. They are the same until you change them. With the motion to approve the standing rules, that would also include the appointments that we just approved. Those will automatically go into these. I'll point out a couple before anybody brings them up. No motion shall be made, shall be debated unless put to the same and be seconded. So we're kind of loose on that. I suppose we can work into that more, have a motion and a second before we discuss. A lot of times we discuss and then we approve or disapprove. I'll try to tighten that up.
It's never an issue until there's a problem.
There's never an issue. You're exactly right. It's fine until it's not. When we have more controversial issues, we try to follow our rules a little more closely as well. Rule number 21. This gets brought up. Board members may have leave of the chair, must have leave of the chair to be excused before a motion to adjourn. Rolling into Rule 22, violations of any of these rules may lead to public ridicule. Oh, wait, no, public or private or oral or written reprimand by a vote of 5 board members.
Are you pointing the finger at me?
I'm just reading. I wasn't even looking that direction.
I think somebody's feeling guilty. How did you know?
Are there any rules?
Yeah, Rule 21 when he runs out sometimes.
I say strike those last two.
any items, any rules that anyone would like to discuss?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Haxby, second by Claybaugh to approve the 2025 Board of Supervisors Standing Rules. I'll try to tighten that one up. Like I say, we run fairly loose. We have very good discussion in the board. I think we've only, there's one of these calling to order you have to stop like we were talking about. I think we about broke the gavel handle off the one time, but generally it's fairly open discussion and it'd be really good to keep it that way. Motion by Haxby, second by Claybaugh to approve. Last chance for discussion. If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order that anyone has? If nothing else, it's only 9:34 on the clock. Should we start with anything new?
We need a closed session, don't we?
We do not.
Oh, shoot.
Jeez. With that, we will adjourn at 9:34 on the clock. Oh.